Stories from the war front, from a lady who's been there. I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature, and thanks for the download. At last month's annual conference of Women in Aviation International, one of the more intriguing panelists was U.S. Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Jackie Marty. During the session titled Stories from the Warfront, she offered the unique perspective of an American servicewoman who's visited every state in the U.S. and several foreign countries. We got to follow up with a few questions, starting with why it was important for her to be at WAI.
I started coming to Women in Aviation in the year 2000. I was separating from active duty Air Force. I'd heard about it the previous year, all the scholarship money that they give away, all the airlines that are hiring, and I was so excited about it, but also disappointed that I couldn't make it. I was over in Germany fighting the Kosovo War at the time and was unable to join them, so I made it a point to come in the year 2000. That also happened to be a hiring frenzy, and having over 3,000 hours of heavy DC-10 time, I literally had gals from American Airlines and Northwest Airlines tugging on my arm saying, "We want her. No, we want her." So it was one of those surreal situations where you think, "Oh my God, is this really happening to me?" And I turned my resume in to Alaska Airlines on Thursday. They interviewed me on Friday. On Saturday evening during the banquet, they announced that I had a job waiting for me. So it was a fantastic experience. And I'm just so grateful for that opportunity and for the mentoring that took place during that conference. Those 3 days changed my life, that I kind of feel I need to pay it back and come back here to repay the favor as I can.
Attendees at WAI heard some great stories about what it's like to be a woman on a combat deployment.
Like I said, I fly the KC-10. It is essentially a flying gas station. We're a tanker. We're unique in that we can take gas from other tankers as well as pass gas to our receivers. And yes, we do, in fact, pass gas for a living. I've flown 159 combat and combat support sorties in three major theaters, European theater and Middle East theater. My very first time ever flying into the Middle East was in 95, and there were not a whole lot of women flying at the time. I was a brand new co-pilot, so the aircraft commander was flying, which meant that I was talking on the radios. So we're coming into land, and I'm talking to the tower. I don't recall our call sign at the time, but, you know, reach 527, you know, are we cleared to land? And they come back, and I don't hear anything. Understand we're cleared to land? Silence. We're going. I'm just kind of letting it go. Okay, perhaps the controller's busy, and it's getting really close. We're about a half mile final, and we still don't have clearance, and I've queried him several times. Finally, the aircraft commander speaks up, and he goes, "Oh, this is reach, 6033. Are we clear to land?" "Oh, roger, sir. You're clear to land." And I'm just like, "You jerks." And I, of course, had a feminine voice, and they just refused to answer a female on the radio. And I thought, you know what, that's just wrong. But in the meantime, I learned to husk my voice up a bit, and so that in the future, perhaps there might be some confusion whether I was a male or a female. So at least they answered me subsequently, but I was pretty upset about that. Since then, they're fairly familiar with females flying over there. So they're really good about it. And of course, majority of the controllers are British nowadays anyway, so they appreciate us. We were staging out of Frankfurt, Germany, out of Rhein-Main Air Base, which shares the runway with Frankfurt International. And our very first night, of course, I've got orders to deploy on April Fool's Day. So we thought, okay, is this a joke or not? So they said, go ahead, pack your bags for a week, 10 days, which was standard. Having some experience, I knew better, and I packed my bags for a month, which was my standard situation, which was a good thing because 93 days later, I finally came home. But April 1st, we got the call that we're going to take off. Of course, I didn't know, none of us knew where we were going. And the wives network is very, very extensive. And so I called a couple of my girlfriends who do aerobics with the other wives. And my girlfriend said, oh, yeah, I hear that you're going to Germany. I'm like, great, Germany. I'll make sure I pack for Germany. No one else knew where we were going until we actually showed up. So I had a female co-pilot, which always makes it nice as far as lodging accommodations, because you typically share a room. So they try and get the at least another lady or two ladies together. So KC-10 crew complement. You have two officers, both pilots. You have two enlisted folks. One's an engineer, one's a boom operator. So I had a male boom and a male engineer, and then my female co-pilot. So very first night of the war, we're kind of excited, kind of scared, nervous. We really didn't know what to expect. Heard just a little bit on the news and the radio, but again, not sure what we were going to expect. So we got a pretty in-depth intelligence briefing, and we're finally ready to go. Of course, none of us really slept beforehand because we were so excited, all the anticipation of what we were getting ourselves into. So we finally get airborne, and we get to where we're supposed to do and where we're supposed to be, and we had studied the route plan and all the frequencies and things like that. So we were pretty much on top of things, and there was a lull in the activity after a while. We had refueled our first couple sets of fighters, and we were just waiting for the next set to come. And we're just kind of looking outside the windows and checking out what's going on the ground. And my co-pilot comments, wow, there must be something really exciting going on down there. Look at all this fireworks celebration. I look out the window, and I'm like, those aren't fireworks. They're actually firing at us. And sure enough, we were seeing a firefight on the ground, you know, mortars going back and forth, and also AAA coming up at us. We were at a safe enough altitude where it wasn't a factor that night, but on several occasions it did get fairly close. But yeah, I thought that was very funny. She was so excited because there was some kind of celebration that we were missing out on.
More stories from the war front with Lieutenant Colonel Jackie Marty in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're going to fly in the soup, you got to have an opener. Garmin WAAS GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Platt. We're listening to stories from the war front with U.S. Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Jackie Marty from the annual Conference of Women in Aviation International in Atlanta last month. There are cultures in the world which aren't accustomed to women as commanding officers.
On another mission, we do an exercise over in Thailand every year. It's called Cobra Gold, and it's a multinational joint exercise. And we had just dragged, we call it a fighter drag when we bring in a group of fighters into a faraway place where we're refueling them along the way. We call it a fighter drag. So we had done a fighter drag, bringing in some F-16s into Korat, Thailand, which is about an hour outside of Bangkok, and staying at a beautiful hotel. Unfortunately, when we landed, we had a hydraulic leak, so we're fairly hard broke. I mean, there's no way that we are getting out of there anytime soon. The break got even worse because when you're dealing with hydraulics and hazardous materials like that, the commercial airlines don't like it when you when our maintenance folks from back home try and bring the hydraulics on us checked baggage. So that caused even further delays getting us fixed. Needless to say, we're there for 10 days. All the while, I'm getting numerous phone calls from the folks back home who are controlling us and helping us with the logistics, and also our squadron back home who's just trying to keep in touch with us. And I'm staying at this very nice hotel where most of the folks who work there speak both English and Thai. I happened to have a Thai boom operator on my crew who was became very friendly with the gal at the front desk who was helping us out. And he spoke a little bit of Thai, and of course she spoke English, so they were getting along very well. And she had asked him after about day three why I was getting so many phone calls. And he explained to her that I was the aircraft commander and that, you know, it's necessary for me to take calls from different agencies. And she didn't understand what that meant. And he proceeded to tell her that, I think we had a crew of nine folks at the time. He proceeded to tell her that I was in charge of these nine men, just so happened to be men, and that, you know, I needed to take the phone calls. Again, she, although understood the words, just couldn't understand the concept. And he evidently explained it to her in a satisfactory manner, where the next day when I come down for breakfast, it was a fairly large breakfast, it was as if all the wait staff just kind of parted like the seas when I walked down. I thought, this is really odd. They all knew my name all of a sudden. Ah, Miss Marty, good morning. Sawadee ka. You know, they're very, very friendly. And I thought, this was kind of odd. And I, after breakfast, I go back to my room, and sure enough, there's this huge basket of fruit and chocolates and drinks. And I thought, this is wonderful. But why'd they wait for day three for my welcome basket, you know? And I asked the other folks on the crew if they got one, and they all said, no, what are you talking about? Well, it turns out that, you know, I evidently had somewhat of a rock star status over there, because women just don't have those opportunities, and it was almost unfathomable for them to see me in a leadership position, and in a leadership position over the men, because the women are so subservient over there. It's just understood, and so for me to be in a leadership role, leading men, was unbelievable. So it was really an interesting experience. Of course, I took advantage of it every opportunity I could.
If cultures can clash in Thailand, imagine what it's like to be an American servicewoman in the United Arab Emirates.
I bet I've deployed there, I don't know, I've lost count, between 12 and 15 times. Maybe the second or third deployment I was there, we had relocated from staying in a downtown facility. The Air Force had rented a nice high-rise apartment. Shortly after the Khobar Towers bombing in Saudi Arabia, they moved everybody on base for a more secure site. So we were in a tent city on a Emirati airbase. And we had a small, very small area. It was maybe a quarter mile in circumference. I knew that because I'd go jogging around there numerous times. And we were allowed in two other areas of the Emirati base, but other than that, the entire base was off limits. And additionally, any time you went out, you were supposed to be accompanied by someone. You always traveled in pairs. However, if you were exercising and you went into these two areas, it was okay to go by yourself. So after having spent, you know, last several weeks with the three guys on my crew, where we eat together, we work out together, we fly together, we do virtually everything together, watching movies and free time, and you know, after a while you really just need some alone time. So I started jogging by myself through this Emirati base housing where their officers lived. And I was just wearing standard workout clothes, what we would consider standard in the United States, just a T-shirt and a pair of shorts and my running shoes. And I'm jogging through this housing complex, and I see a couple kids playing soccer with their mom watching over them. Their mom is dressed completely in the black abaya, with just her eyes showing. And at one point, the kids let the ball go loose, and it started rolling towards me. So I stopped running, and I picked up the ball and tossed it back to them. And I just kind of took a break and started walking at that point. And I looked at this woman, and, you know, we're really not supposed to make any contact with these people or interrupt their lives at all. But I looked at this woman, and she looked back at me with this stare of longingness and curiosity. And she was almost... It was almost as if she envied what I was doing and what I had. And we kind of locked eyes for about a good 20 seconds, I thought. And I felt that for that time, we really understood each other, although we lived in completely, totally opposite worlds. For those few seconds, we just kind of connected. And I felt this longingness in her to, and maybe perhaps admiration, that I had the freedom to actually go outside by myself, to wear what I chose to wear, to have that freedom that I don't think she would ever, in a million years, ever experience. So I walked as I, you know, we kept our eyes on each other as I walked past her, and I continued my run. And as I turned back around, I again walked by her, and she just kind of held her head down, but I could just feel her looking at me underneath her veil, kind of again with that envy and that longingness, I suppose, for the lifestyle that I had. And it was at that moment that I realized I appreciated the fact that I was born an American woman. I like to say that I've won life's lottery. You know, I've had so many opportunities. I've traveled, you know, 6 of the 7 continents. I've been to every state and, you know, over 30 countries. And it's really been a fantastic life that I've lived, and I'm not sorry for anything. And it's really, I'm really pretty grateful, you know. And it takes moments like that that you appreciate what you have. And, you know, I'm willing to share that with others, and I like to be able to give that back to others. That's why I'm such a big proponent of encouraging both men and women to join the Air Force. If they don't know what to do, you know, it's certainly offered me tremendous opportunities. I'm really grateful for that.
You can see Lieutenant Colonel Jackie Marty in an upcoming feature on Aero TV. Find out more about Women in Aviation International at www.wai.org. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.